Welcome to the message podcast of Catalyst Baptist Church, a vibrant church with two campuses located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
Good morning, Catalyst, and happy birthday. Today, we celebrate 56 years of God's goodness and blessing and His grace on this place, and not this place physically, but this place as a church, this community of faith. And I was thinking about it, what do you do for a 56th? You know, I was thinking back, and it's not that far back for those of you that think it's a long time, but when I hit 56, it's like, that's no big deal. Let's just forget it. Let's keep moving on. Anything over 40 was actually like that. But I was thinking, 56, what do you do? So I've invited my friend Elise, right? Thanks, Elise. Go ahead. Drum roll, please. For 56, we're going to have a baby. A baby Bacchus. It's so cute. Now, you have known about Bacchus for a long time, and we've actually been having some services there and everything, but today is the official launch of Catalyst Bacchus Marsh. So join us at 2:30 for that. But that's not all for 56, okay? If you drove in today and you were observant, you saw the signs. The signs now say Catalyst Baptist Church. We are officially now Catalyst Baptist Church. It's been official for a while, but now the signs say so, so there's no going back because you don't want to spend that kind of money, right? Have you ever asked the question or had the thought, they sure don't make things like they used to? Yeah? Those of you that are my age and older, you certainly resonate with that. They don't make things like they used to. Like a few examples. Roman concrete. Engineers today can't understand why Roman concrete was so long-lasting. In fact, I wish those engineers figured it out and fill some of our potholes around here with concrete. And then, hey, it's on the screen, but does anybody remember these? Right? Anybody have one of these? Yeah, still? Right? Obviously somebody did. But these things were made to last, okay? Because you could drop this off a building, and it was indestructible, and it would stay charged a week later, even after that. What else do we got? Oh, yeah. Does anyone have that fridge in their house? I'm looking. Nobody's got that fridge? Does your grandma have that fridge? Right? Because it's your grandma. Oh, yeah, yeah. Your grandma has that fridge, and it's 50 years old, and it's still working. But the fridge you bought 3 years ago, which has a three-year-old warranty, is dead, right? It was built to last. And then the car, oh, wow. Ford had a slogan that was built to last. They don't build them like they used to. In fact, today's cars have more sensors than sense. It's just crazy, and they're so expensive. And I could not get a hold of one of these. I wanted one of these to share with you. But you remember the Tonka trucks? Yeah? I'm talking about the metal ones that would hurt you badly when you hit your head on them or something. And then they would get rusty, and you'd still play with them, and it was okay. Yeah? Some of you are looking at me like, you've lost your mind. No, I was in the good old days. But now today, those are plastic, and you can't even get them out of the package without cracking them and things. And then some things are made to last forever and be indestructible, right? This thing can endure someone my size or larger even stepping on it, and it will injure you, and it goes on forever. Some things were built to last. Today, our church is 56 years old, and the church as a whole, the organism of the church, is almost 2,000 years old. It was built to last. Jesus launched that whole thing of the church. He set it in motion with a powerful declaration. He said this, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Jesus said that before the church was a thing. And today, it's estimated there are about 2.6 billion, with a B, followers of Jesus on the planet. That's his church. Scholars tell us that they estimate somewhere between, this is a big range, between 8 and 12 billion people have followed Jesus since his time. 8 and 12 billion. So if people talk about, it gets so frustrating. People talk about the church sometimes and they say the church is in decline, the church isn't doing its job, and other religions are taking over, stuff like that. Guess what? The church is pretty healthy. Between 8 and 12 billion people over time in the last 2,000 years have exercised faith in Jesus. The church is strong. It was built to last. And we are a part of that here at Catalyst. Over 2,000 people call Catalyst their church home. That's exciting. We've been talking a lot about our role in this over the last few weeks in this series. And we've talked about the fact that we want to be an irresistible church. We want to be a community that compels, a community of faith that is unapologetically here for people that aren't here. That's what drives us. And the kind of the verse I cling to and lean into for that is this. It says, we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. So we, as Catalysts, want to remove obstacles so that people can come to faith. If you missed any of those messages over the last month about living as a catalyst, go to our YouTube channels, go to our website, go to the app, and replay them or listen to them the first time, share them, like them, so that everybody in the world can become a catalyst, and that'd be great. But today, it's going to be a time of celebration. It's going to be a time of challenge, and it's going to be a time of commitment. As we look back with gratitude, and as we look at the present standing firm in our faith, and as we move forward with expectation. To help us frame our thinking this morning, I'm going to go back to a letter that a guy called Paul, he was part of the early church in the New Testament, wrote to a church in a place called Philippi. And as he's starting to engage with them, he says this. It says, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my request for all of you with joy. Paul starts out saying, I give thanks. He's saying, I'm not giving thanks for you, people, although he is. He's saying, I give thanks to God for you. I thank God for you. Paul begins with gratitude, reflecting on how God had worked, and that's what we're going to do today. Before we look forward, we're going to spend a few minutes looking back to recognize God's faithfulness. So we're going to remember God's faithfulness by celebrating his work. So I want you to celebrate with me. If I share something that's exciting to you, it's okay to cheer, shout it out, whatever. Just don't shout me down because I'm going to try to talk louder than you and my sound man will keep pushing me up if you get too loud. All right? So we're going to celebrate God's faithfulness. But God's faithfulness in the past gives us confidence for the future. That's why we need to celebrate it. Deuteronomy chapter 7 says, understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations. Moses is writing here, and he's experienced some faithfulness from God. And I love how he ties in here. God is faithful. That's looking backwards, but he's faithful and going to keep being faithful for 1,000 generations. So it doesn't just look past at God's faithfulness or look at the past. It looks at the future as well. Why, though, should you and I remember God's faithfulness? Well, pretty simple. I think it does three things for us. First of all, it fights fear. When we remember God's faithfulness, when we reflect on how God has provided in the past, we don't need to be afraid for the future. It not only fights fear, but it fuels our gratitude. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I can certainly get to a place where I start looking at lack rather than what I have, my abundance and what God has done. I can look at what I think he should have done or hasn't done, those things. But if we actually remember God's faithfulness, it will fuel gratitude rather than our discomfort. And then finally, it fortifies our faith. When we look at God's faithfulness, we remember his faithfulness, we can remember that if he's been faithful before, he's going to do it again. So we need to remember God's faithfulness. As Catalyst Baptist Church, I want us to remember a few things about his faithfulness for us, because God has brought people together from all backgrounds to form this place. He's provided resources. He's provided leaders. He's provided land at times. He's provided everything we've needed at just the right time for this place, beyond what we could have ever imagined. The founding people of the church, which we'll talk about in just a minute, I seriously doubt they ever imagined that we would be where we're at today. They believed there needed to be a church here in Werribee, but they couldn't have imagined what God was going to be pleased to do. People have come to faith. Families have been restored and lives have been changed and faith has grown. Our church has been built on faith, on sacrifice, and on obedience. There was a pastor in 1969 called Alan Nunn. He was the pastor of a Baptist church in Sunshine, St. Albans. And he looked at it and he discovered that there were no Baptist churches between Sunshine, where he was, and Bacchus Marsh. Interesting, Bacchus Marsh was a part of his thinking. He was a pioneer. He thought there should be a church here. And then Roger and Leah Roberts opened their home to host that first church. Dave and Di McNamara were there. I saw you. Where are you at? All right. Can I get you guys to stand up? Can you stand up, please? Thank you. They did that so reluctantly. You should have seen their eyes when I'm asking them to stand up. Thanks for standing. And thank you for being there then. And for being here now, that's so exciting, so exciting. They were pioneers. Jeff Rouse was in the first pastor, and they built a building in 1977 after meeting, kind of nomads, meeting in schools and community halls and all that. And then in 77, they built the first building, which was down the street. And funnily enough, when the building got done, Jeff left, and a pastor came along called Joe Westlake. And Joe Westlake, if the founding people were pioneers, Joe was a visionary. Joe had a big vision. He envisioned building another building, which is right across the courtyard there. It's our ministry center now. He envisioned planting a school, and there's a small school next door. You might have heard of it. Heathdale Christian College, which is like 2,200 students now. And how many of you live next door at the retirement village? There's a few more in the earlier service, because there you are, because the oldies get up and come out earlier. But anyway, that's because that was part of Joe's vision too. Funnily enough, when that building across the courtyard was done and the school was started and that was done, the village was started, then Joe left. And then John Evans was here for about, by the way, all these were a dozen years, which is kind of getting in my head. But anyway, but I'm a nonconformist, so don't worry. So John was here for 12 years, and then when he left, the church needed a time of stability. And Bill Brisbon, Bill, are you here? Didn't see you sneak in. He's usually at this service, okay. Bill and Mel Brisbon came, and they did a couple lots of interim ministry. And then 2004, Mark Wilkinson came, brought his family, Lynn. Mark and Lynn, you're here. Stand up, please. Yes, please. If Dave and I had to. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. That was a phase of new growth. And Mark led the church to adopt a Corinne congregation, which still meets here on Sunday afternoons. And he started what we call now the Bridge, which is our community development, community outreach side of things. And then he oversaw the building of this building that you're sitting in right now. It's an interesting story about that. This was a rendering of it before it was built, okay? And it was put on social media, and there was a question that was asked. It says, what are you most excited about with the new building? And listen to the responses, just a few of them. Somebody said, I hope we have a good library. Well, today we have a library, and I think it's good. Somebody said, I'm looking forward to a huge foyer to chat to people in. We've got that, right? And get ready for this one. I'm excited about being able to gather the whole congregation into one service. At the start, at least. Praise God. I praise God that that situation has changed. And I'll talk more about that in just a minute. Through all those years, this church was a church that didn't just focus on this community, but focused on overseas mission and sent people out from here to take the gospel. In 2018, I became the pastor, and I brought a little bit of a different vision for the future, and we did some structure stuff that would bore you to tears that we won't talk about. But things were going well, and then all of a sudden, we had this little thing called a global pandemic, right? And I praise God that during that, we were more ready than we realized. We were able to pivot right away and start streaming online. And God brought the right people around to do that. I was so glad that I didn't have to do it on my phone for Facebook. I don't even know if I could figure out how to do that. But we had people that could actually do it well so that we had a great presence during that time. And on one particular day, just a few months in, we were still actually meeting in the building. We had a computer that actually did the streaming. It was a Mac, a big boat anchor kind of Mac computer that did that. And it was dead. And we had this volunteer who had been showing up for just a few months. His name's Justin Clark. And Justin said, "Oh, I've got one of those in my car." How crazy is that? Yeah, so you don't realize how crazy it is, or you would be just like, oh, laughing and all that. God has brought what we needed when we needed it. The people, the resources, the finances, and all the leaders that we talked about for such a time as that, because they were the right people at the right times. Today, as I'm talking to you, remember Pastor Justin? He's pastoring at Manifold Heights now. We've blessed another church with Pastor Justin. You remember DeChan? He led our youth for about a year and a half or so. He's pastoring. Today's his first day at Coburg Baptist Church. Yeah. See, it just keeps going on. It's not just about what's happening here right now in this moment. It's about the ripples that come out of this place. So how do we remember and respond? I'll give you three things, and I want you to take this home for homework. I want you to pause and reflect. Take intentional time to remember God's goodness. And I've told you a few dot points here, but some of you can remember a whole lot more. Take some time, reflect on that. And then as you're reflecting on it, let that motivate you to praise. Celebrate it. Tell God how amazing he is for what he's done. And then let that fuel you to press forward in faith. That's how we respond. I want you to reflect, how has God grown your faith through the work here? Remembering God's faithfulness in the past leads us to today, where Paul says this: "You've been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now." 56 years on, we are still on about the same thing this church was started for, to share the gospel of Christ. That, my friends, is the foundation. That's the main thing we're here for. All the ways that we do it, the methods and the strategies and the ministries that help support that, that's the core. That's why we exist. So what we want to understand is that we need to be reinforcing our foundation continually, because that strengthens our commitment to being on about that. You know, being built to last just isn't about starting well. It's about reinforcing, because a strong future is only possible when it's built on a strong foundation. Colossians chapter 2 talks about it this way: "Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." A firm foundation is rooted in Christ and community. That's what we need to come back to. In the book of Acts, we see the story of the early church and the birth of it in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And we see three foundational commitments of that early church. First of all, it says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They were committed to God's word. The Bible, as you well know, if you've been here any length of time at all, isn't just for knowledge. It's actually a blueprint for our lives. We need to live it out. And they were also committed to God's people. It says they met together, they shared meals, they cared for one another. Community is not optional, community is essential. And they were also committed to God's mission. They gave generously, and they served, and they shared the gospel. The church is not a building. The church is a movement. And that's why we are here today, because they were committed to these things. When I think about those foundational commitments, I think, okay, how do we reinforce our foundations? Does it look different? I think it's pretty much the same. When we talk about our foundation, reinforcing that together, we do that by, first of all, staying centered on God's word. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word, not hearers only. So we're living out God's word. And then we're staying connected to God's people. Iron sharpens iron. And we need people in our lives that are going to support us, encourage us, hold us accountable, all those things that we talked about last week. We stay connected to God's people. And then we stay committed to God's mission. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says that you will be witnesses in all the earth. Over the last year, we have done quite a bit, I would say, to reinforce our foundation. When we were growing last year and the year before, the growth numbers were just off the charts, crazy, and it wasn't about anything I was doing. It was just happening. God was blessing that this building was getting really full, and the kids' men was overflowing. So he said, we've got to go to two services. So in April of last year, the person that put that on the on social media, they were looking forward to gathering together. They were probably a little disappointed. But it's because God was blessing to the point we couldn't fit together anymore. That is such a wonderful problem to have. Most churches would love to have that. Today, we'll have over 150 kids across the way there. So even if we could squeeze everybody into here for one service, by the way, you wouldn't love it because you would be sitting on top of each other. But we couldn't even hold all the kids. Praise God for that. Then, it's always been a part of the vision since I've been here to have campuses that come out from here, because I firmly believe that every community needs a church like this one. Every community needs a church that is focused on people that aren't there yet. And I thought that was still a couple of years out because COVID really did a number and everything, and we needed to regroup and all that. But in April, about the same time we went to two services, I got a phone call from Mark Wilkinson, who you just saw a couple minutes ago there, and he said, we need to talk. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this guy's from the BUV. He's kind of one of the bosses kind of thing, but not really, because the BUV is not the boss. But anyway, that's another story. He said, we need to talk. So we set up a time to talk, and he came, and he said, there's a church that needs you. Would you be willing to consider starting a campus over in Bacchus Marsh? For those of you in Bacchus Marsh, if you're listening in today, thank you for having the courage to realize that you were struggling and to ask for help. And to start with, I was reluctant, but I told Mark I'd pray about it and we could go talk to them and everything. And then, as you know, we just celebrated that we're 56 and we're birthing a baby, Catalyst Bacchus Marsh, today. God was directing. Another part of reinforcing our foundation was changing from a geographical name that defined us geographically to a name that actually went along with our mission, Catalyst Baptist Church. And we did that late last year. And all of that's before we even talk about our empowered faith community, which is a community meal on Thursday nights where people actually hang out and then stay for a Bible study where they can explore faith. It's not to talk about the growth of our coach mentoring program where people in the community are rubbing up alongside Christians who are people of faith, and we're just trying to help people along in their life. It's not talking about yet our community assist. And then just last month, we launched our parent hub, which lets people from the community, parents, come in and they can have a coffee and a cake. Their kids can play and they can find connection and hopefully find hope and ultimately find hope in Jesus. God has been faithful, and we've done all these things in an attempt to keep reinforcing the foundation that we are a church that's here to multiply hope, not just in this community, but also around the world. And this matters now more than it ever has. Because as we step into this new season, our foundation must be firm. Because if, as a church, we ever forget our foundation, we're going to struggle. Some churches and organizations, they have what they call mission drift, where like things are going well and you start all these other things, but then you forget what you are really all about, which, as I said, was about the gospel and about Jesus. We're a church that needs to reinforce our foundation continually. What part of your faith needs reinforcing? Is it about being committed to God's word? Is it committed to God's people? Is it committed to God's mission? What in your life needs to maybe have a tune up there? Paul finishes this section by saying, I'm certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Paul says, I've got confidence in God. He's not done yet. So for us, the application for that is we're reaching for the future. We're going to reach for the future by continuing the mission. We're going to continue the mission because Jesus said, I will build my church. And he's still building it. It's still going today. Continuing the mission is going to require from each of us what all those that came before us did. All those that came before us prayed, they served, they gave sacrificially. They invested believing God was doing something here. And for a lot of us, we're enjoying the fruit of their investment. But now it's time for all of us to consider investing for the next. When I talk about investing, I'm talking about your time. I'm talking about your gifts and abilities. I'm talking about your finances as well. You know, a lot of people say, I don't have enough, so I can't give. And I'm going to gently as I can, we're talking about time, talent, treasure, all those things, as gently as I can, I want to say that mentality that I can't do it because I don't have enough is a load of rubbish. Okay? For me too. Because you know what I know about me and I know about you is that we've got time for the things that are important to us. We've got money for the things we need. Now, if you're someone who is in a deep financial crisis, I do understand there are exceptions to that. But most of us, we have the money for things that are the most important to us, and we give to those things. I think we need a mindset shift if we're going to sacrifice. A few things. Sacrifice requires us to shift our thinking from a scarcity mindset to an abundance mindset. Just start by not saying, I don't have it. Start by saying, I've actually got an abundance. I've got a lot. God has given me a lot. And what am I going to do with that? Start, instead of having fear, having faith. Say, well, if I give or if I invest that time, then I don't know how this is going to work out over here. That's fear. Have faith that God's going to work it out. Shift your mindset from donating, because that's you giving, that's you blessing. And hey, you're blessed to have my money. You're blessed to have my time. Change that from donating to I'm investing. I'm investing in others. I'm investing in the future. And change your mindset from being an owner to being a steward. You're only a manager. David said it this way. He says, everything we have has come from you, and we give you only what you first gave us. Now, if you've been in church a little while, that's not news to you. That's a verse you've probably heard before. But can I tell you, it's true. And I want you to process it. Let it sink in. Everything we have comes from him. We give him only what he's already given us. If we can get a hold of that, friends, that will transform our thinking about stuff and about even our time and our energy and those things. Catalyst, Bacchus Marsh, is a step of faith. When we said yes to that, we had no idea how we're going to do it. It's going to cost money. It's going to take resources here, people from here. There's people from here over there today and has been over the last month. And that will continue. God has opened the door for this new campus, the baby Bacchus for our 56th birthday. Now's the time for us to invest in the future. See, we are one church now in multiple locations. So when I talk about Bacchus, please, those of you here at Werribee, those of you online, don't think about that's them. That's not them. We're all us now. And what is needed in that community is our responsibility. We need to own that. And vice versa, if you're listening in Bacchus, guess what? We're going to be tapping into you for some stuff too, all right? Because we're all one. And what is needed here, you get to help with because we're all one. We believe that part of not making it difficult for people to come to faith is having spaces that reflect our heart for people. So today we're launching a campaign. We're launching a campaign to raise $100,000 to revive and renew the space in Bacchus. Now, I'll tell you up front, it's going to cost a whole lot more than that. But we believe that this month, the month of March, we can get collectively raise $100,000 for that. And I'm going to tell you, this is more than just about the building. This is about building people's lives. And I've got to tell you, I changed my message. I had to change my message because something happened on Thursday. On Thursday, we got a phone call. Pastor John, the campus pastor over in Bacchus, got a phone call from a friend that said, do you need some chairs for Bacchus Marsh? And John's like, well, yeah. Okay, my message right now, we're landing on chairs, okay, before Thursday. So Thursday afternoon, John ran over, looked at the chairs, because we thought, they're giving away chairs, what do they look like? You know, are they rubbish? They weren't rubbish. So we got a message from John. We're in a leadership team meeting, and he was excused to go look at the chairs. And he says, they're good, we've got them. And my first thought was, that just messed up my sermon. We've already got on the website that people are to donate for chairs. What are we going to do? And then I paused for a second, and I thought, wow. Wow. God just saved us $14,000. And it's more than just the $14,000. You know what I heard God saying? I'm affirming what you're doing. You're going the right direction. You're doing the right thing. Because believe it or not, okay, don't tell anyone. Sometimes I have doubts. Sometimes I wonder if I've lost my mind with some of the things that we do. Because I'm human. Before I was a pastor, I was a human. And sometimes that happens. I'm still human, right? But I'm also a pastor. But that was affirming. When that happens. So, how can you be involved? Well, you're not going to buy a chair. We got the chairs covered. We still need $100,000, though. Audiovisual. We need $40,000 of audiovisual equipment. Anybody want to sign up for that? No, you don't have to raise your hand. Heating and cooling is about $27,000. The pergola, an outdoor area where people can find community and enjoy some time together, is about $10,000. We need a new entry to make it handicap accessible. That's $8,000. We need some landscaping, and that can be as much as you ever wanted to be, but we're budgeting $5,000 for it. So we need you to give $100,000. And on top of the $100,000, instead of chairs, we want you to buy a carpet tile. Because carpet will represent the spaces where people are standing, where they're having conversations, where they're making connections, where hopefully they're finding hope and being pointed to Jesus. These are about $20 a piece, and I want to let you do a fun family fundraiser. So I want some of you guys to take care of some of those big dollar items, but for families, I want to encourage you to get together and figure out how can you do this. How can you buy 1 or 10 or 20 or however many carpet tiles. We need 400 of them, by the way. That's $8,000 for you maths people. And there's a flyer in the back at the welcome desk that says revive and renew, and it has lines there. It's got a line to set a goal. How many carpet tiles are you going to do? How much money are you going to raise for that? And then you can do odd jobs. You can do any number of things down this list. So you put that down there and figure out how you're going to do that as a family. You also had in your chairs a fridge magnet today that says revive and renew, upgrading spaces, unleashing impact, and then the reminder, everything we have has come from you, and we give you only what you've given, first gave to us. I had a thought during the service. I thought, wow, if we put those on our refrigerators, right, What if you did a dollar every time you open your refrigerator for the month of March? I bet that'd be a good diet program for some of us, right? But imagine how many times you open that refrigerator. Anyway, maybe that's what you want to do. Maybe you couldn't afford to do that because it'd be too much. But think of something creative and decide how you're going to get engaged. And beyond all of that, thank you. We're over time, by the way. Praise God. If you give, it's not just about Bacchus and the Renos and even those people. It's going to do something in you. Three things. First of all, it aligns your heart with God's mission. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's exciting. You want to get your heart more in line with God's mission? Give. The next thing it does is you trust God's provision. Philippians chapter 4 says, "My God will supply all your needs according to his riches." Trust him. And then finally, you store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Luke chapter 6 says, "Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over." I want you to consider what God would have you do in this space. And as we stand at this pivotal moment, looking back at God's faithfulness, it's a good time to remember what he's done. He's provided, he's sustained, he's led, he's guided. But it's also time for us to keep reinforcing our foundation. Because if we ever lose that, then we got no reason to be here. And then we need to be reaching for the future together. I was thinking about the reaching to the future together. And I've had some people stand up. I've told you stories about other people that have been involved in this place. And I look at those guys and girls as giants. They did a lot of heavy lifting. And I like to think about it as we're standing on the shoulders of giants. But you know what happens when you stand on a giant's shoulders? You're actually able to reach further than they could. You know, I think the best thing we could do to honor those that have gone before us is to stand on their shoulders and reach further than they could. Because they will be blessed because of that. Because when we trace it all the way back, it'll still be about a guy in 1969 that said there should be a church in Werribee. Here's the challenge. It's our moment to trust God, to move forward. We have an opportunity to invest in the future, so I want you to pray, first and foremost. Pray. Ask God, what would you have me to do? When you hear from God, then give whatever he says, however much he leads you to give. And then, it's not just about money. This is about engagement. I want all of us to engage and do this together so that in years to come, we'll be celebrating what God did through all of us together. We're 56 years old. The same God who's brought us this far is leading us forward. We're going to be a church that remembers, that reinforces, and then reaches. Today, we need to give. We need to serve. We need to trust God boldly, knowing that he is going to be faithful. I'm going to say it this way today. Catalyst Baptist Church, we're built by faith. We are people who are growing in faith. And today we're stepping forward in faith. And here's why. Because God was faithful then. God is faithful now. And God will be faithful forever. I hope you believe that. I believe that with everything that's in me. And if I ever stop believing that, you won't see me up here anymore. Because God was faithful then. God is faithful now. And he will be faithful forever. Let's stand and let's pray together into this. Father, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you that we got to celebrate today the work that you have done. And Lord, thank you that we can understand the work that you are doing because we can see it all around us and we can feel the impact. Thank you, God. And Lord, we have glimpses of what the future might hold, but Lord, if you shared the whole future with us, we'd probably be too scared. So Lord, help us to take one step at a time into that future, trusting you and believing you for more than we can see, for more than we've already seen. And Lord, help us as we do all of that to never forget that it's all about you and it's all about people coming to know your Son who died for their sins. Thank you for your sacrifice. And Lord, help us, Lord, to be willing to sacrifice as well so that your kingdom will expand. In Jesus' name, amen.